Yeah, I won't play my drums on that one.
Kufar Akbar, everybody. Hello. This is indeed another edition of Radio Free Kafiristan. This is a radio program that is dedicated to rightly dividing the truth between Christianity and Islam. We examine the evidence for both of these faiths in order to arrive at the truth. It leads us to the send. Thus go I. Shalom. Peace and blessing. As of course, this is your ever humble host, Eric Thekifer, coming to you live from the cavernous depths of the Kafir Cave in Dar al-Harb, Kafiristan. We're here every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we are now, and we have now, and we've been doing this for a good while, streaming on live streaming on StreamYard. We were in Zoom, but now we're in StreamYard, and we're going out to our Facebook page. We're going out to our two Facebook pages, and we're going to our YouTube channel. And then if you go to the crossandthecrescent.com, we're posting it on our website. Remember, a Kafir, and this is why we call it Kafiristan, and we play them evil bells that are one of our guests tonight isn't too appreciative of. I didn't even know that that's what it stands for. I thought AC/DC was like electricity because they're up there playing their guitars. Okay, so it's what? Antichrist, devil, what?
Devil child.
Well, I'm going to have to. I'm gonna have to Google that one. That sounds creepy. Because I grew up on that stuff. I love that stuff. I mean, you listen to the Back in Black and then.
I love AC/DC. Okay. I came out as a drummer, but when I got saved, that all changed.
Oh my goodness! Now I'm kind of depressed. I'm gonna have to delete a bunch of stuff. I know. I'm gonna have to delete it off my iPod now. Golly.
Nobody, because God knows how to do things. Well, we drop the truth, we drop the seeds, and God gives the answer.
Okay, well, here's the reason why I play that. I play that at the beginning of the show, because if we start using the Sharia, and the Sharia says that Christians can't ring their church bells, So I want to ring the most evil-sounding church bell that spooked the living snot out of them and put the fear of hell in them. Okay, so today we have kind of a unique subject, and we're gonna be getting to it. We have a couple things that we want to take care of beforehand, but the subject that we're going to be talking about tonight deals with how the Quran actually confirms the Bible, but how the Quran does not state. And this is one of the questions that we brought up on Sunday. And Steve, do you still have that check for $1,100 that we want to write? Because I was.
25.
I did 25. Okay, 25. Yeah. Okay. Make sure, because you know when we start doing, because this is the tax season, we want to make sure that okay. But anyway, we were going to pay people to show us one unequivocal verse in the Quran that says the Bible. If you put that away, somebody's going to get your account.
All right.
IRS, you guys.
Okay.
You can count it.
Okay. Okay. So.
Did you not see the Facebook post about that today?
No, what Facebook post?
Oh,
by who?
Asana Bonadito, or whatever his name is, says that you owe him $1,000.
Oh, does he?
He made some, Facebook post and said, Eric, you got to pay me $1,000. He tagged me in it, but I never knew anything about this challenge, right? I'm like, what are you tagging me for? I wasn't even on the show when you guys were talking about it, man.
Well,
he's like, well, Eric owes me. I was like, whatever. I'll let them know.
Because I blocked Asana. That's why I never showed up. Because I'm
making Eric the admin of this contact. So if you guys need to collect, go to Eric.
Heard him speak? He's got a very nice sounding voice. His voice is so different than how he texts. He texts and you just want to think of, you know, ripping his head off.
Who's that?
Well, he came to my show
talking
about Asana. He came to my show and he was abusing with the F and MF and SF and all the Fs in the world and everything. So I have a video of him on my live show where I kicked him off in less than a couple of minutes. And
you guys are talking about the challenge. Sorry I was away, but for our sponsors, because they are sponsoring this, again, also on top of the cash prize, you are also going to get a lifetime supply of Jamal, Camel Milk Cola. Okay? I mean, you can't beat that. You just can't beat that at all. Sorry, okay. I had to put that in your mind.
All right, so they're already having some fun over in chat, I see. Okay, so that's the topic. We're going to be talking about how the Quran confirms the Bible, how the Quran does not insist that the Bible has been corrupted. And our friend Frank Kahn is going to be discussing several passages from the Quran tonight, along, and also presenting some hadith and some tafsir that clearly demonstrate that most Muslims, or at least Muslims initially, believe that the Bible was not corrupted, that the Bible was indeed. And when we talk about the Bible, we talk about the entirety of the Bible. We just don't talk about the first five books of the Bible and the four gospel. So we'll be getting that here in a moment. But our friend Stephen wanted us to play a video because evidently he had. Did you have on your show? Who was it?
Aladdin.
Oh, that's right. Aladdin. Yes. Okay.
Can I introduce that for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
He had macho man.
Was this the Filipino dancer guy that you were talking? Okay, that imagery in my head is just it's not going well. But go ahead. We don't have a picture of him, do you?
Video. So I'm just gonna.
Does it have? Okay, all right. So go ahead and share your screen.
A picture of Aladdin?
No, I don't want a picture of Aladdin. I don't.
We'll have a picture of him standing with all his Dawah guys. He's like one of the leaders in the Dawah group in the Philippines.
Is he Filipino or is he?
I don't know. Is he Filipino, Steve?
No, he's Palestinian.
Palestinian.
That's how I got to know him. So.
Okay. All right, Steve, go ahead and share your screen. Make sure that you click the audio button that you're going of the part that you're going to play, and then also once you hit play, you need to mute yourself. So go ahead and share your screen and bring that up for all of us, put you on the spot.
That's how he thinks. That's his thinking face.
How do I get it up there?
Okay, there we go. All right, so let me do this. Okay, now go ahead and make it a full screen.
Okay.
I see you had Kufar Phobia. Kufar Phobia is in the first in the chat today. He gets a gold star. Way to go, sir.
Oh, yeah,
we appreciate you. Yeah, great guy. All right, and I'm going to mute myself once you hit play because we don't have any echo going. Go ahead.
Okay, can I just say something about this first? I just want to say that Arlette has been on with me many times. We've done debates. Almost every time he runs away. Now, I don't brag about stuff like that. It doesn't mean nothing to me that he runs away or that I beat him or that he was defeated by me yesterday or that the title of this video is Arlette ran away from me yesterday. I don't brag about stuff like that. That doesn't mean nothing to me that I beat him yesterday and he ran away and stuff. I don't. That doesn't mean nothing to me, you guys, but he did run away. And so anyway, I want to show you this video. And the issue was the word Ahad, because in the Quran it says, Qul hu Allahu Ahad. Say Allah is one, not Allahu Wahad. And I know Adam could really take on this subject. So anyway, this is the video, is the live thing. Okay, how do I play it?
You put the button where it says play.
Okay.
Make sure you mute yourself.
Steve.
pizza, but I'll take. We can talk for a few minutes.
You will deliver a pizza. It's
night time here.
أصبحنا وأصبح المجد لله أصبحنا عليك.
Welcome.
Let me tell you something. Then I have to go back. I have to go to work. You quote John 17:3 and you quote end of Revelation. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. You know, when you read John 17:3, when they talk about the eternal life, they say the eternal life that they made, no, the only. You know what is the meaning of only?
Yes.
When you say only, that means there is no other one beside him. The only true God, which is that one God, which Jesus spoke about in Mark 12:29, when he says, the Lord, our God is one Lord. Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. So when you go to John 17:3, he was talking about the one only God, whom though sent Jesus Christ as a man and mediator between God and men. And this is Shahada, actually.
This sounds like Shahada.
This is telling you only one God.
You're saying exactly what this guy said, because this guy said that they're identical.
They are 100%.
Yes,
they are. It seems to be that.
You are not paying attention, actually.
You know what?
Khabir for this then. When the Quran says.
Allahu Ahad.
What does Ahad mean?
You know the Arabic version of the Bible, three of them says Al Ahad as well in the Quran. Do you know that? Do you know that the Bible says Al Ahad as well? Do you know the Arabic version of the Bible uses the term Ahad?
Answer the question.
I'm answering you. Ahad. Let me finish. I'm answering you. I have to go. I will go to work.
Okay, guys, you're saying Allah is running away, you guys.
I'm running away.
Ask them, what does Allah mean? Allah.
Okay, you want me to teach you? Yalla. Ya Habib, stop playing Zakaria Batrus game with that. Allah يرضى عليك. استخدم مخك. Use your mind. Allah يرضى عليك. Let me answer you. Don't let Zakaria Batrus control your mind. Think. Welcome back, Hamoun. Yalla, I will teach you again. Yalla, I will school you. Listen. I will school you.
I'm listening.
I will school you. Relax. Relax.
I'm relaxed.
Allahu Ahad. No, Mr. Rubesh. خلاص. I will run away. Yalla. Assalamu alaikum. I will run away. You consider me running away? خلاص. I will run away. Yalla. Assalamu
alaikum. Because you don't have an answer.
Bravo. Awesome. Bravo.
غرب مني انا سالته
ايه ستيف فاضل
اطلع عم تحكي معي اطلع حكيت عشان لازم اروح ابيع بيتزا سالته شو معنى الله
احد
الله واحد
الله واو
awesome love it
gotta like that yeah
I want someone to get my... hey you guys by the way tomorrow at 1 o'clock Atontash will be on my program, so please come on at 1 o'clock California time, okay?
Great.
Okay, post a link in chat so we can also put it in the private chat and also in on the YouTube chat
sure
if you can.
Steve has not created a scheduled invite yet. Right, Steve? Yes.
Right, yeah. Okay, well... I'm not gonna say because I do the same thing. You know, I'll sit there and I'll create, like tonight, the Global Patriot Radio channel. I had not yet created the show at 5:30 or at 4:30 this afternoon. So there you go. Okay, so what are we going to – oh, the one thing I wanted to add to that, and I hate to do – I hate to pile on here, but he what are we doing citing John 3 – or John 17, 3? What's his purpose behind that?
This, you guys, is amazing. The reason I did this video wasn't for Ilet Adin. There's a guy, his name is Joshua Evans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yusuf Evans, yeah.
And it said he's a Muslim now. And so I was just responding to his video because a cousin sent me the video. And one thing he says in that video is if you look in 1 John 17:5-17, you know, and it's just like the guy doesn't know the difference between the Gospel of John and 1 John, you know, and he's an expert in Christianity. He knows Aramean, he knows Arabic, and he knows Aramean and Greek. And he's an expert in law and in philosophy and psychology. And so he was here, and I just was taking apart his testimony. And then Ilet Adin came in. But one thing he said that's so funny, you guys. Please let me just say this one thing. He said the verse 17:3 in the Bible, where Jesus says, "Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." No, it's 17:3. "Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." When Joshua Evans saw this, he says it's identical to La ilaha illallah wa Muhammad that there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. He said it's identical.
Yeah, and this is the same guy. This is the same guy whose credentials apparently were that he was a youth pastor of some sort or a youth minister. And I'm thinking that he was that's bogus, because if there was, he would cite where these credentials were from or what church that he was. He's probably a Sunday school teacher. And I'm not diminishing Sunday school teachers at all. God bless them. But he probably taught the second grade. And that's where he gets his credentials. But here's the part that he's missed is right there.
Yeah.
I mean, for crying out loud, if you're gonna cite that in two verses later, Christ declares his eternality, and you're gonna try to use that. You know, what kind of an idiot? Well, there it is. Right. Yep. Thank you for being so blunt about that, Adam. I appreciate that. Okay. So now we can get to our topic. Which deals with how the Quran affirms the Bible, how the Quran says that the Bible is the word of God, and how we do not find, according to 1,125 reasons why, we do not find any unequivocal statement from the Quran that says that the Bible has been corrupted. But this is one of the things that we continually are told, that the Bible has been corrupted. Corrupted to the point where we can't even recognize any of the true teachings of Jesus, because the Injil that was given to Jesus at his birth when he was speaking from the cradle, we don't know where that is. There's no manuscript evidence for it. As a matter of fact, there is there's no evidence for it at all. If there was some type of book that was given to Jesus, somebody would have mentioned it somewhere, but they don't. So when we look at some of the early Islamic theology, Frank Kahn's going to be coming on here and explaining this to us, because she's created a series of slides that I have 19 of them here that she sent me, and I got them all printed off, brief description, and we're going to go to some of these, and I'll let her lead the conversation. But let me first off, she wanted me to start with this one right here. Now, this is a statement from Abdullah Saeed. And it says, "Since the authorized scriptures of the Jews and the Christians remain very much today as they existed at the time of the prophet." How true that is. The same book that we have today is the same thing that they had in their hands at that time. It is difficult to argue that the Quranic references to the Torah and Injil were only to the pure Torah and Injil as existed at the time of Moses and Jesus, respectively. If the texts have remained more or less as they were in the 7th century, the reverence the Quran has shown them at the time should be retained even today. Many interpreters of the Quran, from Tabari to Razi to Ibn Tamiyah, and even, what is that, Sayyid Qutb? Is that who that is? Is that what they're talking about? Appear to be inclined to share this view. The wholesale dismissive attitude held by many Muslims in the modern period towards the scriptures of Judaism and Christianity do not seem to have the support of either the Quran or, now make sure you understand that, they do not have the support of either the Quran or the major figures of Tazfir.
Yes, that's huge. If they just would give themselves like a half a day to spend time with some of the scholars, the Muslim scholars, they would realize that what they're hearing in Facebook and all over the place is not accurate. They're not being true to even their, a lot of their today's scholars. And it's a pity. Sometimes I feel like going to my local mosque and saying, will you please get your Muslims under control?
A local mosque will denounce you. And these are the early scholars that they do not. Yeah. So the later scholars actually have to create the doctrine of corruption, because if they would not create the doctrine of corruption of the Torah and Injil, then Quran is corrupt in its statements. So they had to create that doctrine, whereas Quran does not state it.
Who is this Abdullah Saeed guy anyway? Who is this guy?
I don't know. He's a scholar. Just barely learning about him, and you know, I respect him because he's not like I just call him Facebook Muslims, you know.
Okay. So, all right. So, I mean, there's so much in this. I mean, if you just look at this just to begin with, he's number one, he's admitting that the scriptures that we have today are essentially the same thing that Muhammad had in the 7th century, right? Okay, that's the first line. And then it's difficult to argue that the Quranic references to the Torah and Injil are different than what existed at that time, that there was some type of different Torah or different Injil that existed, that we were told so many times that existed. And then, let's see here, if the texts have remained more or less as they were in the 7th century, the reverence the Quran has shown them at the time should be retained even if today. And that's from the points that I saw in those slides that you had sent me, that there are several verses from the Quran that do give reverence to the Bible, that give to the Torah and the Injil. And then, let's see here, and then also you have interpreters from Tabari al-Razi to Tamiya. Appeared to be inclined to share the people who provided the interpretations for these. I'm assuming he's meaning the commentators when he says interpreters.
Yes, they share this. Oh, you just want to hug this piece of paper.
Okay, so
refreshing.
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
Well, and sometimes
another Muslim, it really is. It's like thank you.
Yeah, it's and sometimes they give you the gift of honesty sometimes when they let their guard down when dealing with you.
And that is a gift. And see, that's the only thing that I hold Aladdin accountable to, is just be honest. Just be honest.
And what interactions have you had with him? Hi, Paul. My friend Paul Sutliff, the Thursday night host, is on Facebook. Thanks for coming tonight, Paul. Go ahead.
As much as with Steve, me and Steve, when he came on, then I started listening to him. And then I go back and I listen and I learn what people say. There's something in me that I just end up learning and going back and really listening to where they're coming from. And then I start doing the Torah, I do all kinds of chases. I call them like the scripture chase or the Quran chase or the tafsir chase, you know, because a lot of them say, well, you know, read the hadith. So that's what I've done, just slowly. This has been a 4-year deal for me, and I haven't stopped. I mean, it's just like God put me on this road, and I haven't stopped. Then I met Steve, and then, you know, of course, that's where I met Aladdin. And so I feel like I'm like a little expert on Aladdin. You know, I've come to love him, you know, but I hate the lies that come out of his mouth. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what Steve is finally doing with him is holding him accountable for like the word Ahad, And it's one of, they won't even confess that. Okay, so what is the next slide that you have there?
The next one is Ibn Kathir's commentary on 289.
Okay, this was Aladdin's, Stephen Aladdin had. Yeah, you want to raise it up? Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Stephen Aladdin just had this conversation. He said in 289, if he can find the Al-Tafsir, because he was saying, you know, don't give me all these other people of so-called Steve's team. You give me Al-Tafsir's Ibn Kathir, and you tell me that is this one in Muhammad's time? See where it says Muhammad? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's read it. Go ahead and scroll up and read it.
Okay, so it's a, and when there came to them, meaning the Jews, a book from Allah, I'm getting my two screens mixed up here, sorry, meaning the Quran that Allah sent down to Muhammad, confirming what is with them, meaning the Torah.
Okay, read that last one, meaning the Quran that Allah sent down to Muhammad. So we're talking about a book that came down in the time of Muhammad, and then scroll up. Yes, scroll up, and it says, when there came to them, meaning the Jews, a book from Allah, meaning the Quran, that Allah sent down to Muhammad. So we're talking about Muhammad's time, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now scroll back up. Okay, Aladdin says, and when there came, he wants to take this word came and say, well, that's past tense because it's the word came. So that's in the time of Moses and Jesus. See, Allah says, it's Moses and Jesus's time. So he's saying that and then he's saying this book is the Bible. So he's saying, see, the book came in Moses and Jesus' time, and it was fine. But by the time Muhammad came, it was corrupt. So he's taking one word and saying the word came is past tense. It's not present. It's not future. So, yes, the Bible was correct in Moses and Jesus' time, but not Muhammad's. So Ibn Kathir just busted him because it continues and says, a book from Allah, meaning the Quran that Allah sent down to Muhammad, confirming what is with them, meaning the Jews, meaning the Torah. And one of the translations, he says it's Torah and the Injil, which I've made a meme on that. So this busts. Ibn Kathir implies this is the time of Muhammad. But Aladdin says it is the time of Moses and Yeshua.
Okay, then the next one that you had on here, let me see here. It was, am I on number three? What was the difference? Was there a difference between the second and the third slide, or no? Maybe I messed
up. You can just show it. Probably not. If it looks the same. It's
no,
not.
That's not it. Okay. I guess maybe I messed it up. So, sorry.
No, you're fine. No, it's just go to the next one or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let me bring up the next one. The next one is about what the real Islam teaches. What the real Islam teaches. So you have several.
I just made on the fly because it was like, man, this was just. I mean, after a while, you know, I've got like almost 300 memes in one file that confirms that where the Quran confirms. So after a while, it just gets second nature for me. So I just wrote this kind of like on a fly. God revealed Christianity, and you cannot find any refuge beside Him. This is what this says when you read one of the hadiths, that God revealed Christianity, and you cannot find any refuge beside Him. The Torah and the Injil is Bible. That's Sahih Muslim 27:13a. And then the Quran says this is the real Islam. Says that Christians are nearest in love towards the believers, which it means Muslims. Christians follow the religion of the Messiah and the teaching of the Injil, which is a part of the Bible. I mean, this is all in their, this is their stuff.
Well, I would disagree with that term, the Injil, because number one, it's a Greek word used in the Arabic, and to refer to the Injil.
The reason why I say fine, okay, is because in Sahih Muslim, it has the word the revealer of the Torah and the Injil, and then it has in parentheses Bible. So that's where I just stick it to them, you know. But yes, I'm there too, Eric. But I'm giving them their real, you know, where you can read this in their sources. And then Christians read the Injil. This is another hadith that I've made up. Who follow Christ are superior.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the Quran. The gospel is the word of God. That is Abu Dawood.
Say that again. The gospel. Okay, whoa.
Yes. The gospel.
Where is that?
Is the word Abu Dawood. I got a picture of it. I think I sent it to you.
Wow.
Yes, I know. Yes. It's a short little hadith that it says that this guy came up to this guy, and when he heard him saying some words of the gospel, he started laughing. And then the guy replied to him, "Why are you laughing at the gospel? Why are you laughing at the gospel? It is the word of God." And see, when I find these little nuggets, I'm like, "Oh man, it's time to make a meme. It's time to make a picture."
And I'm shocked that, you know, people would still. I mean, is your average everyday run of the mill? And I'm not trying to, you know, marginalized people, but I mean, is your average everyday run-of-the-mill Muslim aware of that hadith?
No, my son is Muslim, okay, and I've asked him, "Do you read the Quran?" He said, I said, "How much have you read the Quran?" He told me -2.
Wow.
But I send them out, and I just get laughs. They really don't fight me, you know, but they will do a laugh, you know. So anyway, and then the Torah and the gospel is my verses. This is in the Quran that Allah says. The Messiah passed away. He died. That's Jalalain. That's 365 in the Quran. God confirms the Bible. God ordained in Christian. Oh, I love this one. God ordained in Christian hearts compassion and mercy. This is Jalalain in the Quran.
And his commentary on the Quran.
Yeah, you know, it's like, wow, why are you guys fighting us? Because, you know, Allah's ordained compassion and mercy in our heart. And they just laugh at me. They won't fight me back, but they'll just laugh at me. So early Christians escape. Oh, this is one that I just recently found. It's only been like 3 weeks ago. I was reading in the Tafsir. And I think it's Quran 57:27. And it is 57:27. So it speaks of that early Christians escaped from Paul the Jew. So then I say, shows Paul did not invent Christianity.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Did you know that there was I think it's Ibn Abbas. I'm not too sure, but it's one of the. I sent it to you. I didn't make it all fancy because I just recently found it. You know, and it's like they can look through these. They can look through the Islamic sources and find where Allah just talks great things about us. Now, on the other hand, he doesn't. But which one are you going to lean towards, right? So then it says God protects the Bible. That's 15:9, I believe. Christians are, this is 5:18, I think, in the Quran. Christians are devoted in learning and announce the world and are not ignorant or arrogant, excuse me, and then et cetera. So this is just some of what real Islam is. At least the good parts. Let's put it that way.
Well, let me. You mentioned Ibn Abbas, and you said that you had a slide for that. Let me.
Yeah, you
want
to see it, buddy?
Yeah. Let me pull it up.
Let me look in my screen.
No, I got it. I got it right here.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, look. Come
no,
on.
No, that's not it.
I know. For some reason, my computer is not cooperating. Oh, wait. No, I'm way too far. Okay, hold on.
Just
let's go back.
Yeah.
It's going. What is
it's like
going?
A green. Got a big green.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why it's taken so long to. There it is. Well, there we go.
That's the Paul one. That's the Paul one. Keep on going.
Isn't that the one that we wanted?
No. You wanted Ibn Abbas, right?
Yeah, that's Ibn Abbas.
That's
there.
Not it.
Oh, I thought that was it.
Well, that's not.
Is this it? No, that's
Abu
Dawood.
Yeah. Keep on going.
Oh, boy.
Keep on going. Just
okay,
click it until I say something.
No, I'm going to have to go back the other way then. Okay, because I thought that was the one that you were talking about. No. I mean, look at your meme. Your memes are cool.
Thanks. They're fun. You know. That's
okay. What is that? That's
really
Jalalane.
That's when Jalalane says the Messiah passed away, like all the other messengers. It's
yeah, let me.
Right there.
Yeah, let's.
It's right there.
let's make that big enough so they can see this. Okay, so this is from Jalalane, and he is a commentator. He writes, well, the Tafsir. It says, the Messiah, son of Mary, was not but a messenger. Other messengers had passed on before him, and his mother was a supporter of truth. They both used to eat food. That comes out of the Quran. Look how we make clear to them the signs. Then look how they are deluded.
They have to smack us. You know, Satan has to smack us.
Okay, the Messiah, son of Mary, was only a messenger. Messengers passed away, and so he passed away. And so he passed away like them.
Wow, the Messiah passed away, died. Okay.
For he is not God, as they claim.
Yeah, you know, they have to slap it.
Okay.
But they got this right. I mean, wow.
Yeah. So the early Christians did not believe that. I mean, that's another argument that I hear, that the early Christians did not believe that Jesus was God. And
Let's go there.
All right.
Really, yeah.
Sorry. All right. And so he passed away like them. So, okay, Jalalane, one of the great commentators on the Quran, is admitting. That
the Messiah died.
That Jesus died. Okay. That Jesus died. Now, how does he deal with 4157? I mean,
we would just have to go back there and see it, but that would probably, I don't know. What I found out is with all these tafsirs and the hadiths, they so much contradict each other. You know, they so much contradict each other. You know,
and that and here's what's amazing is when we get into these discussions, they say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. Well, okay, it doesn't. But I mean, just think about this. Here you have 66 books written on written in three different languages. By over 40 authors over a period of 1400 years, and it doesn't contradict any passage of scripture is properly understood in its proper context does not contradict the other part. But here, on the other hand, you have the Quran written by one man, an archaic language, oh, by the way, and it contradicts itself every time it turns around. Yeah, no, exactly. No eyewitnesses, nothing to verify it. Okay, here, just bring it on, guys. Go ahead, let me have it.
You silly kafirs. Don't you understand? These are not contradictions. These are miracles. Miracles in the Quran, okay? And this Jalalane, what does this Jalalane know? This Jalalane, he does not know nothing. He is not Allah. He is not Muhammad. Only,
It's Saeed.
That's the wrong one.
If I could just tell you about that Jalalane. Just Jalalane, the tafsir of Jalalane is not one guy. Jalalane is Arabic for two Jalal. There was two. There was Jalal ad-Din Suzi and Jalal ad-Din, not the other one, but one was a teacher and student. So Jalalane means two Jalals, and there it's two of the most respected commentators.
Yes, so that's how they just call him Jalalane.
Yeah.
But you need to realize that we are humans. So humans make mistake. So they made mistake. Quran is the word of Allah. There is no mistake in Quran. So you have to accept what is written in Quran, not what is written by these humans.
Adam, you would make a good New Age speaker, you know, to listen to at nighttime. You've got such a soothing voice when you want to. When you want to.
Thank you.
Remember, I'm female. I get along. I get away with all these.
This things. Is why I love Nim coming here. Look at what she wrote. Is it my bananas day? If. Oh, you guys kill me sometimes. Okay. All right. Let's just take a break for a second, Rad. Did you have something that you wanted to say about our sponsors of the show that drop off the buckets of money on my doorstep every Monday morning? Them Jews.
So basically, through our great marketing campaign, we flooded the phone lines. We basically caused a camel urine shortage globally. Okay, with our promo code, consider this. Well, I'm going to let the Aisha, the spokesperson, the Child Bride spokesperson for Camel Products, explain the situation and what we are doing to remedy the situation.
Okay, now I want to make sure that we're not violating any child labor laws by having her appear in a commercial. Am I correct on that?
No. They don't have any child labor laws where she's at, so we're good.
just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Well, that's the least of our concerns, dude. I'm just saying with this shady organization. But anyway, let me share my screen here. Share screen. Sorry, kind of caught me off tab here.
Okay, make sure you do the audio. Click the audio part of it, too.
Audio.
Okay.
Can you see it?
Yes, we can. There she is. There's the beautiful young lady herself. Okay.
All right. Here we go. This is just recorded a few minutes ago, so here we go.
Okay.
Due to our special, consider this promo code. Jamal Body Wash has experienced an overwhelming demand for Jamal. Now, I know some of you must be like, Dad, don't confront me. I got 4 wives and 2 kaffir sex slaves. Ain't got no time be taking no bath before bang bang. So I want my Jamal by next Friday. Via Jamal, the only hala body and mouthwash for Muslim men, hear you, and are addressing your concerns. Now while we cannot guarantee delivery of fresh smelling Jamal, we have increased camel capacity
and
processing facilities in Wuhan province, China. So just chill yo, your Jamal be in the mail, you be getting it and getting the lovin' from all your wives, sure enough soon.
Yeah, so there you have it. they're expanding capacity, dude. Camel production capacity, dude. This thing takes time. Come on, okay?
Now is it written?
They've also increased the order production in Wuhan province, China. Okay, come on. You know what's going to be quality assured there, okay?
I just want to make sure that, our fees are commensurate with their increase in their revenues. I mean, because thousands and thousands and thousands of people around the world don't see this show. Just saying.
Don't worry, man.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, the Jamal is in the mail, Muslims. Okay, just chill. Okay. Quit blowing up our phones, man.
Okay.
You're going to go Allah Akbar on us and chop over heads because you ain't getting no bang-bang in between chopping. I'm just saying. Ain't getting no loving. That's not my problem.
I mean, Muhammad was a fan of perfumes. Was he not? That's one of the...
This is the scent of the desert, man. You can't go wrong with this. I mean, seriously. This works. You can do Islamic science.
That's really worked out.
Can I ask Frank something? I found these things that you shared with us very interesting. But my question for you is this. How do you respond to their argument that, oh, the hadith are not sahih? How do you respond to that?
Well,
you know, I've learned from CP. CP said a most wonderful thing to teach us is that the hadiths are a hadith and the Quran is a hadith. So they're both hadith. You understand?
I don't understand that. The hadith are the hadith.
Yes, it's the words. The hadiths are the words, right? The words, the sayings of Muhammad, right?
Right.
And so is the Quran.
Ah.
He's claiming, right, even though he's claiming that it's coming from Gabriel to then Allah, right? They're both hadiths. So that one day when Steve showed our dear heart, Aladdin, a hadith that embarrassed his heart, the law that's written on his heart, he wanted to say, well, you know, this isn't the Quran. This is a hadith. So I said, wait a minute. The Quran is also hadith. And he started saying, Allah, Allah, you know, speaking in Arabic, you know, Steve, deliver me from this lady. Tell her to shut up. You know, see, they don't understand that I understand some of the Arabic, but I'm not going to say as much. It's like the Spanish. I can understand a lot of what they say, too. So there you go. And he did not want to face it. He just wanted to say, it's hadith, this isn't Quran, because it embarrassed him. And I held his foot to the fire, and he just laughed and bucked. And, you know, he turns on this happy demon, this is what I call it. And he just starts laughing because he cannot, he will not speak the truth so far, you know.
If I may,
so far.
If I may add to a point, hadith just simply means the word of Muhammad as a new word, because hadith, the literal meaning would come up as the new words or the new talk or something like that, in essence. So if you're talking about Quran itself as well, there are a couple of verses where it says by itself that this is the hadith conveyed through Muhammad. So it's a new talk in its essence. But like, let's come into the theological issue, which George actually brought it up. George, the hadiths which are sahih are sahih, which are da'if are da'if. Okay, they have been proclaimed da'if because of the chain of narrators. Now, the problem that you might be describing is that the modern Muslims in the 20th and 21st century are proclaiming some of the most authentic hadiths to be da'if. Now, the question is, how do you know that 1400 years after? Whereas all the way back then, they were proclaimed sahih. And Bukhari, Imam Bukhari, actually took his time, all of his life, and he collected approximately 60,000 to an 80,000 ahadith. And right now, he only proclaimed about 7,000 to be sahih. The rest he threw in the garbage. And then there comes the fabricated hadiths, which is another thing. So the fabricated hadiths are more derogatory than da'if. They are not even in the books. They are running left, right, and center from another books, which are called the fabricators. So we are not even talking about them. But even if you talk about sahih hadiths nowadays, they will proclaim them to be da'if, and that's the problem. And you can put them on the spot that tell me which chain of narrator in these chain of narrators is bad, who proclaimed it to be bad, when was it proclaimed to be bad, and how many other hadiths are proclaimed through this chain of narrator within the chain. So you have to pronounce all of those hadiths back. When you get to this point, you will realize that by proclaiming one or two people bad in the chain of narrators, you will be left with maybe 10% of it.
You'll be left with what?
10% of the total hadiths. So the rest will all go bad because most of the chain of narrators are repeated. So the Aisha claiming that she was 9 years old, and you have like 10 or 11 different type of chains that she's saying that she was 9. And if you put any of them in the spot, like the 7-8 chain of narrators, so it's a chain. So X said Y, Y said to Z, Z said to... So basically you have to go 300 years to Muhammad, right? The hadith is being written 300 years after. So you have to like have 5 different people or 6 different people saying, hey, I heard from X guy.
Right.
X guy heard it from Y guy, and so on and so forth. So if you pick one of those guys to be the bad guy, You have to denounce all of the hadiths through that chain.
The thing that I want everybody to know that when you start saying so-and-so said that so-and-so said that so-and-so said that so-and-so said, what you have done by that time is you have removed yourself three times under, or included yourself at least three times just by saying that in hearsay. And none of that is going to be accepted as historical fact. It's not going to be accepted in a court of law. And to say that these are somehow only second in importance or authority to the Quran is just absolutely astonishing to somebody that, you know, that when you grew up in the West. You just said it. I mean, they weren't written down for 250 years after the death of Muhammad, the life of Muhammad, and they weren't written down. They were written down. Where was Sahih Bukhari? Wasn't he?
2,000.
Yeah, he's up in Iraq for crying out loud. I mean, he's.
Okay, Eric, come back to the first statement that you said. What do you mean by three?
Wait, hold on.
Radical, please give me 1 minute. Eric, the first statement that you said, what do you mean by three accounts of wrong? Like, what did you say?
Well, okay, like, hearsay in a court of law. Now, if you are a witness, let's say I witnessed Stephen stealing something. He's out stealing pizza. Okay, I see Steven stealing a pizza, and they call me in and they say, okay, Eric, did you see Steven stealing a pizza? And I'm like, yeah, I saw Steven stealing a pizza. Well, let's say they don't call me in. However, when I came home and I told the Queen of Kafiristan, I said, look, I saw Steven stealing a pizza, and then they called the Queen in to testify, and she says, well, my husband Eric said that he saw Stephen stealing a pizza. That's hearsay, because she is not a direct witness of what had happened. She's only depending upon what I had told her, and it's not admissible in a court of law.
Okay, so if this is your case theory, then by this case theory, Quran is also daif, because Quran that you have right now is according to Hafs, who actually took it according to somebody else, who actually took it from according to somebody else,
right,
who took it according to somebody else, and
like
who took it according to somebody else. So the Hafs, the Quran Musaful Hafs that they have as the canon so far, and they don't even have the original Musaf of Hafs to proclaim it, it is by itself is according to, because Musaful Hafs was written much later after the death of Muhammad. So by itself, by you just proclaimed, you just destroyed Quran, authenticity of the Quran itself, in the standard of court of law. Thank you, Radical, for being quiet, because I wanted to bring that point up.
Eric, did you want to share that screen there?
Yeah. Let Rad, go ahead. What's up? Then I'll share your screen.
I just want to say, you said the Kafirs, you don't follow science. This is the science of the Quran, okay? This is the science, okay? All Islamic scholars agree except for the scholars that disagree. They agree except for the ones that disagree on agreement.
This is why you're a doctor. That's because you understand these things.
Exactly, okay? Come on, man. Follow the science, as we all hear, right?
Right.
Seriously. But
I thought it was a religion. I thought Allah said it's a religion.
Oh, it's everything. It's everything. It's a science.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there was something else, but I forgot something about the hearsay evidence. And
mm-hmm.
No, it's a science, man.
Well, I will tell you, when you compare the hadith to, or even like Adam mentioned, the Quran to the fourfold gospel, the guy that what was his name? Simon Greenleaf, who is the father of the, when we think of law in the United States and entering evidence into a court of law, he is the father of setting up the rules for this. He lived back in, I don't know, the late 1700s, early 1800s. But anyway, Simon Greenleaf has come out, and he's the one that set up these rules and processes for admitting evidence into a court of law, as far as physical evidence, testimony evidence, things of this nature. He's came out, and he wrote a book on this that – I have it here somewhere – that says that the Gospels, if you take the Gospels they would be able to be admitted into a court of law in the United States because of the evidentiary requirements to being primary source for primary witnesses to events. So
that's
the difference.
That's Cooper law. I mean, that's Cooper law. You let a woman testify against a man. When Allah said it takes two women to testify against a man. Not only that, but you let Kufar testify against a Muslim when Allah said no. So, yeah, you can't hold it up as a standard.
Hey,
that's Cooper law. You don't follow Cooper law.
The best Muslim.
What happened to Frank Kahn's screen? I lost it. What happened to your screen?
I took it off. You want to bring it back up?
Yeah, put it back up. We want to discuss that. Steve, you got to go?
Yeah, let's
go. I got to go steal pizzas.
Okay.
No.
Don't let anybody see you.
I had a joke about, look, I love Ayla Dean. I'm praying for him that he be saved. But
Please do.
Description of him, that he is the human We Love Jesus table at the mall. You know, because the Muslims have these We Love Jesus table to deceive the West.
Yeah.
Well, he's the perfect. He is the.
Yeah, he would. He would be a sweet talker, you know, and saying, please speak to me respectfully because I respect you.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a friend and proper guy. But then when he opens up his mouth to describe the Quran, then he botches it.
Well, we've had quite a few Muslims on the show that are just like that.
Glasses on that says the Quran is corrupt, so anything he reads in the Quran, he'll take one word out because it's got to prove. He's got to prove to the other person that's listening that his glasses are right. That says that the Quran, that the Bible is corrupt. Which is, you know, you were talking. I think it was Adam, or no, it might have been you, Eric. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was Adam.
We get mixed up.
About the Muslims had to make up that that substitution theory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of, and I found them now, there's a lot of Muslims that detest that. And one is, believe it or not, Adnan Rashid. And also Shabir Ali. And then there's another guy and another guy. I got three of their names written down in one of the memes. I might have sent it to you, Eric, but you don't have to show it. But
it dealt with substitutionary theater, right? Yeah.
They are repeating, and they're even saying, well, then if it's a substitutionary so-called Messiah on the cross, then Allah is not just because, you know, he took that punishment when he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, this is.
So even they even pull up that, at the second to the bottom, is not of the justice of God, that you're outside of God's justice. This is that man with the poofy hat that's right beside Adnan Rashid. He said all of these things, yes, him. He said all of this, that this substitution theory, and they call it a theory, Adnan Rashid, Shabir Ali, Sheikh Imran Hussein, and I never got this guy with the poofy right beside Adnan Rashid.
Okay.
His name.
The poofy thing's got to go. We got to get it correct. Let's stick with poofy. I can't pronounce that word. So.
Yeah, we're not
going to
call him ugly. We're not
going to
do that, Adam.
You asked for it. I answered it.
Okay. The guy with the tall white hat. How about that?
There we go.
He's the one that said all of this is not a wisdom of the Islamic Allah. Listen to that. He is telling Aladdin that what he peddles is not a wisdom of the Islamic Allah. It is not of wisdom, contrary to wisdom. Humiliating concept, he says. He says this is disgracing Jesus, which he says Jesus. I say Yeshua. He says this is a scheme. And he says it exceeds all forms of ignorance. and then he calls it a deceptive manner. It's deceptive. At least these guys are can say that. So this is why I made this name, because it's like, wow.
But at the same time, then these guys...
Yep, there's the same time. There's always that side of the nickel. There is, Adam. But I'm not showing that, Adam.
Hold on. I'm saying that then these guys are actually denouncing Tivri and Ibn Kathir as well, because they are both on the substitution theory. So imagine that they are right
really?
Now.
I never knew that. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tivri and Ibn Kathir, they both stated substitution theory. So if we look at Ibn Kathir, he was very clear that Isa asked his disciples, who will be my substitute at the Last Supper? And young guy stood up.
Is that in the Ajil?
No, it is in the Quran.
That's
Quran,
what I'm saying. We don't find that in any of the 4 Gospels, is the point I'm trying to make.
No. It's tafsir of Ibn Kathir.
It's their commentaries, yeah.
Commentary.
See, I wouldn't want to be finding that because I wanted to come and expose Aladdin that there's... And, you know, he does the same thing, unfortunately, but he wants to show the Gnostic believers and try to say he claims that they're Christians, which they're not. But I'm showing him true Muslims that are saying, this theory is not of the wisdom of the Islamic Allah. And that's a big punch to anyone that wants to claim this and jump on this. So what other picture can you
Which one do you want to go with? Do you have anything in mind? And let's go ahead and
show that David one, that Dawood, Ibn Dawood. That man, I found that one like probably about 5 months ago, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Okay. Let me see here. I'm gonna have to
nuggets in this stuff. I mean,
Ibn Dawood.
Right there.
Okay.
And I know what they're doing. They're just ignoring this stuff. I mean, I learned this stuff also for my son. Okay.
Okay.
And
did you want to comment on that question Nim Grace had posted? Where'd it go? I put it up on the screen. Right there
okay,
it is.
Go ahead.
I didn't
Eric, know. Explain how her son became he was kidnapped by his Muslim Syrian father. At the age of 2.5. Enough said?
I don't know what to say about
that. He is Muslim by kidnap. That's how God has me say. He is Muslim by kidnap. And my son is just a regular typical. He's not, he's just very ignorant. He listens to the singing of them, you know.
How old is he?
34.
That's about how old my son is. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now he's 34. Wow. And you know, when I was born again, he was the, 2.5 as well. But when I was born again, I would rub his back at night time, and I would read the Gospels and I would read the whole Bible. You know, I'd read Deuteronomy, Jeremiah, you know, Revelation, Genesis, just anywhere where God had me read. And boy, it would knock him out. But he one night, he woke up, he sat up in bed and he said, Mama, and I was just reading to him. He says, he's 2.5, Eric, and everybody here. He said, Mama, God made my eyes, God made my nose and touching them. God made my mouth, God made my chin, God made my hands, God made my legs. God made you, Mama. God made this wall. God made everything, Mama. And it's so surprising. I say, yes, baby. When I tucked him in bed, I walked like 3 or 4 steps in the hallway, and I said, God, you not only touched me, but you touched my son. And then in the transition of learning the Word of God, I read that in Deuteronomy saying that I'll save your whole household. So God had me see his works before I read it in his word. I lived it, and then he showed it to me. And that's how he's still doing with me. It hasn't stopped. You know?
Hmm.
So So that baby, my son, has the word of God seated in him. Okay? He's seen, he lost twins, and I'll just say this one story. He lost some twins in the womb, and God showed me a picture of them, what they looked like. And this is the day before we flew up there to go see them in the hospital. And he said, "Oh, Mom, that's exactly what they look like." So, and I got to hold one of them. And, of course, I laid hands and asked God to raise the child from the dead. God said no. But that baby has seen the Lord's work through his mama. And I'm not trying. I just had a dream of that. That's what it was. So my son literally has no excuse to not come to the Lord. He's being stubborn. He kind of knows it, you know. He was always a very smart, bright, you know, wanting to do things his way, even when he was really young. So he'll come because he's got to pray a mama.
Thank God for that. Indeed, thank God for that.
Yeah, and I'm real hard on him too. I cannot flatter this child, you know, because then I'll be a false prophet.
Sure.
Can't do that to that child. Okay, so, yeah, let's show that. No, not that one. That one that I just got been showing you, Eric.
Okay.
The last one. Yeah, that last one. It's all green.
It's all green. Well, let me get this off.
Oh, I shared the screen. I'm sorry. No, that's my bad. I need to share the screen with you again.
Okay.
Share my screen, sir.
There we go. All right.
Yeah, that's my bad.
That'll make it easier. There we go.
Yeah, you see this? Look, I was with the Negus when his son recited a verse of the gospel. So I laughed. Thereupon he said, "Do you laugh at the word of Allah? The exalted God's word is the gospel." I saw that and I was like, "Oh, ma'am, I need to make my picture and show the Muslims."
Okay, so if you say, let's see, okay, I've recited a verse of the gospel. There it said, "Do you laugh at the word of Allah exalted?" So this is saying that Muhammad said this.
This is a
hadith, so it is Muhammad saying it.
Okay, all right, so I was with it. Yeah, well,
yeah,
now,
it. So I laughed, and then he said, "You laugh at the word of Allah, the exalted."
So now,
the guy hears words recited of the gospel, the guy laughs, and he rebukes them, says, "Whoa, wait a minute, this is the word of God."
Okay, but how do you respond to them saying, "This is not the same gospel"?
They have to prove it.
Okay,
isn't
no, I can prove it. David, Eric, do you have that one in Sahih Muslim for a 27:13a?
Hold on.
If not, I'll share it. But you can look.
Slide 7. Sahih Muslim calls the Torah and the Injil the Bible.
That's
is that
funny.
It? Okay, let me.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that one.
Yeah, zoom in. Zoom into that bad boy.
There we go. Lord of the magnificent throne, our Lord, and the Lord of
everything.
The splinter of the grain of corn and the date stone or fruit kernel, the revealer of Torah and Injil, the Bible, and the criterion. I seek refuge in you from the evil of everything you are to see.
Yeah. The revealer of Torah and Injil, Bible. That answered your question, sir.
Thank you.
That's John. Is that John?
That was George.
Oh, hey, George. God bless you, sir.
I think John.
See?
John's
see,
still
see,
here. There
see,
we go.
See, this is what I show them. When they do that, I send that to them, and then I leave. I leave the thread. I've rested my case.
Yeah, we had a guy in chat that hosts the Thursday night show, Paul Sutliff. I don't know if he's still here or not, but he wanted me to send him these memes, or actually what he wanted was he wanted me to give him have you know what I'm saying. He wanted me to give him your email address, or I'll just put you in contact with him on Facebook, and then you can decide what you want to do. Yeah, because Paul's he's an author. He's actually, and this is where I'm jealous. He's a retired teacher now. He just retired last year, and he has been doing this for quite a while. Great guy.
Cool. That's great. Yeah, you know, it was probably about 5 years after my son was kidnapped, and I was already married with Ron here, and God dropped into my spirit and said, read the Quran. He says, because I want you to know what your son would be under. And so I read it, and I had an encounter with a suspicious spirit when I was going to the grocery store, and I noticed it. Because I was looking in my rearview mirror a couple of times, and like the third time, I asked the Lord, "What is this?" He said, "It's a spirit of suspicion that you picked up from the Quran, but it'll leave soon." By the time I even got out of the car to go in the grocery store, it was gone. You know, so I had apparently I had to experience this stuff to learn really what is going on with Islam. It is truly a spiritual warfare.
It is, and I've said, really, you know, just as well as I do. Right, when you start interacting with these people and you just provide them proof after proof after proof, and you just keep doing it, and they still come back and try to distort, mm-hmm. you know, it's scary to try to rationalize with people like that, especially when we start talking about the crucifixion. How can you rationalize away the most demonstrable historical fact from antiquity? How can you do that when all of the scholars say Christ was crucified on a cross? You know, we don't believe he's the Son of God, but we don't believe in the resurrection. But one thing that we do know is that he was crucified on the cross. And then you sit there and you show this to them, and they're like, "Oh, but." And then you get the Aladdins. Well, what does it mean when you have John 3:14 and 15 there, where he was? Do we have that one? Where he was saying that he was put up on a, let's see, yes, we do. Wait a second. Yeah, we have that one. Or you had it anyway. Right there. It's right there. It's another one. Where Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah.
Oops, I'm not sure.
I remember when God showed me that to bring that. Yeah. And then I have another one. But yeah, it's so. See, what Aladdin wants to say is, well, Moses put a substitutionary serpent, which is brass, so then there has to be a substitutionary. But if you just read the whole sentence of the scripture, it says, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. That's the point, is God is bringing them back to life. They lived. And then in John, Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. So Moses speaks of life, that they will live. And then Jesus says, look, I'm going to give you now eternal life. So it's a beautiful picture, and he botches it and says, look, he put a substitutionary serpent. So then it has to be a substitutionary Son of Man. You know, that is so demonic to say that, because you're not even being textually honest.
You know, when he brought this up, I had never heard this argument before. When he brought this up in the show, I'd never heard this argument before. I admit it. I fully admit it. And I really didn't know how to answer it. But then after I got to thinking about it, well, how does he deal with all the eyewitness statements of people seeing Christ after the resurrection? How does he deal with that? If Christ was not, and Christ saying, look here in my hand, look in my hands, you know, put your fingers in my hands where the holes of the nails were. How does he deal with that?
That's where the corruption theory comes up, Pradeep. That's where corruption helps you denounce it.
Well, you can make up anything then. I mean, you could make any case if you can lie about it, right? If you could just make it up, well, it was in this book over here that nobody's ever seen, never heard about, never written about ever before, nobody ever mentioned it before, but it's in that book. Trust us on that.
The father of lies.
The
lie is going to come against the truth, but the truth wins out. The truth saves people. The lies ends up murdering. You know, he was a murderer from the beginning. You know, and that goes back to Adam and Eve. I mean, when he killed Adam and Eve, in a sense, he killed all of us. So he deceived the whole world. The whole world was already deceived in the garden. You know, and God is just restoring it little by little right now. So do we have another one?
Yeah, I wanted to bring this one up. Let me get to it. It's slide number 11. Now, I'm just going to let you know, she sent me 20 slides, folks. And
I have 279
in your arsenal, right?
Of just that topic.
Wow. Yeah.
Of just that topic. Yeah, we can do another.
Okay, this one. Sorry. I'm sorry.
This one?
No, not that. This one right here.
Yeah, this is from Osama Dakdox. I consider him a really, really good friend. Okay, so he.
If you don't know Frank Kahn, yep. Osama Dakdok has the Saturday show on this network. When we talk about Blog Talk Radio and the Global Patriot Radio Network, yeah, he has the Saturday night show here. He's been on here just as long as Vito and Al have. So he's like one of the foundations of the network. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh wow! Yeah. Yes. Okay, so he called me one day, and I was talking to him, and he says, look up 517. So when you caused me to die, he says, this right there busted one of his Muslim friends, and he left Islam and chose Christ. And I'm sure he was later born again and received the Holy Spirit. But yeah, right there, you know, the following verses of the Quran clearly teaches that Isa, and he does say, which is honest, the Jesus of Muhammad died. I can't see that rest word, but contradiction to this. And then, yeah, so I did not tell them except what you had. And this is what they're saying, Esau's saying, I did not tell them except what you had me, what you had commanded me, that serve Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness among them as long as I was with them. So when you caused me to die, you were the watcher over them. So when you caused me to die. Now, I haven't sent this one because I just recently made this one. I don't even think I've sent this one to Facebook yet.
Okay,
but,
Will
you deny?
I want to pull this up in on the Quran, CorpusQuran.com. What is this? 4:117, and see if there's a difference.
This is 5. It's 5:117.
It's 5:117. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
I'm sorry.
5.
That makes a difference. 5. You know, I'm thinking about getting some type of music to play while I am looking for things.
Turn on the radio.
Yeah. Well, I would knowing me, I would forget to turn it off, and nobody would be able to hear me then. Okay, so I say you commanded worship, Lord. I was a witness as long as but when you took me up. Now, notice what it says here.
Took me up.
Oh.
It's Mutawati. Say it. It's Mutawati or.
Falamma Tawafaitani.
That's it.
Hold on. Give me a second. Steve. Eric, click on the verse. Click on the Arabic.
Right.
Yes, go down. Down a little.
Go back if you've just passed.
Oh, wait. Go down. Stephanie, hold on. Not Stephanie, sorry.
Go down a little. Ooh,
okay.
You're in that trouble.
See, that's how close we are. You know, we kind of
smack
each other every now and
then. You have to scroll down a little.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. You raised me.
Stop. Tawafaitani. Click on the English. Tawafaitani.
Right here, you raised me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Click on it. Okay. Now, so if you see anywhere where the tawaffaitani or tawaffai or tawaffanuhum is used other than Isa, it says and cause you to die, cause us to die, cause them to die, and come us to die, take our souls. You caused us to die. But whenever the same word is being used for Jesus, they will say, you raised me up. You caused me
to come
up. Wow. They literally
everywhere this Arabic word has been used for anybody else, for Muslimin, for other prophets, for you, for me, It is die, death.
Dies will cause you to take them in death. Take them in death. We cause you to die. Cause me to die. Cause you to die. We cause you to die. Take away. Holy crow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. When it is for Jesus. No, this is not. When it's for Jesus, then you take the meal.
Oh, yeah,
see, that's your
it.
Deception. That's what I wanted to show you.
Wow.
See, they're literally changing the Quran. They're literally going against their own Allah's words, saying it cannot be changed. You know, so, you know, but, yeah, a lot of them are starting to see.
I was curious about what these were here in the corner. Ceremonial clean, non-Arabic word of Hebrew.
Yeah. Because they're non-Arabic words. So he'll have the non-Arabic word. Let's say the word is benefit. Okay. But it'll be the non-Arabic word, you know, spelled there. Like click on. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking you're on that page. But yeah, so he's showing, look, this is a non-Arabic word. It's from Hebrew origin. This word means stones around the Kaaba. This word means to eat. This word is, and that's probably Nasara, Jesus and Christians. This is Bible. And he'll say, like, the scriptures. And then this says, and then Muslims. So, yeah, it's this ebook that I got probably just about 3 months ago. And then I got his paperback, you know, because I wanted it just free, you know, with my hands. But,
well,
yeah.
I'm just looking at these translations.
Right.
Thou didst take me up. Now that's okay. That's not what it says.
The next one is honest. Caused me to die. See, there's 15 translations, Eric. At least 15 translations by Muslims. Okay, that say that he died. I've got a picture of that. Did I send it to you? I think I did.
Yeah, well, I don't know because
15.
I got like a book from you today, but that's okay.
But this isn't the topic, but there's 15 of them that is either. They're all Muslims. Actually, I think they are all Muslims. You know.
Oh, you did. You did send that to me. Let me pull it up here.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, so it's like I'm actually wanting, you know, to help the Muslims see their own Islam.
So, guys,
you know?
any translation of Quran written before 1901 is written by non-Muslims. 1901 was the first time when the Muslims wrote the English translation in India because they said that they are not deceiving, they are not hiding the truth, and they are translating the words of Arabic as is. So in retaliation to that, the Muslims for the first time started to give the translation of Quran. So 1901 was the first time that translation of Quran was done by a Muslim. Before that, it was always Arabian Christians who did the English translation. That's
so are all these Arabic Christians here then?
No. I'm just saying, like, you need to understand, like, anybody before 1901 is a known Muslim. Just an FYI.
Why wouldn't Muslims translate it? I don't understand that. Why?
Right.
So basically, in India was occupied by British, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were using the Quranic translation done by the Christian missionaries. Let's put that, and they were not liking it. So for the very first time, the first English translation was done by an Indian person who is a Muslim. Who actually attacked India, who's a descendant of the Arabian people who attacked India and occupied it. They, for the very first time, did the English translation. And then Pakhtal Khan is a revert anyways. So he was a revert from, I don't know which religion, but he was a revert. And he did that in the West. So there is a huge history behind the English translations in itself.
Okay, so that first Indian guy, did he translate it right about Jesus died?
His, I don't know, it's not on internet, and his Quran is like a historical Quran right now. Like, you don't get it very easily.
Really?
It's a very extensive book because it's the first English translation.
I'm surprised that it's not on the internet somewhere at a PDF file or something.
I'll share you a link for all the English translations, which year they have been done, and who was who. There is like a full geography on that.
Okay.
Okay, hey guys, we only have a couple minutes left in the show, so you could answer considering.
So that's all them. Go ahead and just scroll down so the Muslims can see.
Okay, so yeah, this is
how
just
many are there?
Right. Yeah, these are now these are translators. I'm assuming these are translators. Is that what this?
Well, yes, these are Muslim translators translating the Quran in English.
I'll cause you to die. I'm terminating your life.
That's death. That means the death.
Yeah.
I've learned that from
I shall cause you to die. I'm making you to die. I shall make thee die. What is it? Elizabethan English. So
I know,
Muslim.
Right? Yeah, I know. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
And begotten, we didn't even have that word until, what, the 14th or 15th century?
So
how did that book get into the Quran, right?
Exactly.
That's another one. Don't get me started on that one. I did four memes on that one because it says show proof in your divine writings. So I did like maybe it's two memes on that going, okay, Allah, here you go.
Right.
Here's in our divine writing that Jesus died, that God has a son.
So guys, I need to go back to the witness theory, if you may like, because right now it's 4 minutes, and if it's done, then I need to go back to witness theory as well.
Okay, go ahead.
Witness in Islam is a very, very different kind of a witnessing. You have to see the act with your eyes, or you have to touch it, or you have to hear it. This is called the witness. If I give you the example of the witnessing, the adulterous victim, if you see an adultery happening, you cannot just say that I saw these two people in bed naked. That is not called adultery because you just saw them naked. There are multiple ahadiths which says that you have to see the male member going into the female member like a collarium stick in its pot fully enclosed. This is the hadith.
It's trying to protect the man.
Hold on. Frank, forget that part. So what I'm saying is simple. Let me finish the sentence.
Let him finish. We only got a couple minutes. Let's go.
So if the adultery thing is this much, like just an adultery, is this much you have to see, and you have to see it by four witnesses, not just one. How are you taking the verses of Quran in a linear chain as an authoritative proof when you don't even have any evidence? Number two, how are you taking these ahadiths as an authoritative proof when you don't have any? How many eyewitnesses saw and wrote it down, and how do you have that proof? So by just going to these hadiths, is Sunan Dawood and Sahih Bukhari and all, and I have a video, I shared the link, you can share it to everyone, where I've shown all these hadiths. Like, if the witness requirement is this tough, that one of the guys said that, what should I do if I see my wife committing adultery? Should I go run away and call like three more people to see that they are committing it? And by the time they come, they might have done the act. How will I be able to vouch against it? I saw from my own eyes. Muhammad said, no, you have to have four witnesses who saw it in the act, not just naked on the bed, who saw the act happening. So how do you work with Quran that you don't even have any till the four centuries after Muhammad? Now that's the ending. If you can't even find a verse in Quran, that Bible and Injil is corrupt. Now, the second level is, how do you proclaim that Quran is authoritative? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, because if you don't have the witnesses, let's say what you're saying is that Muhammad has no authority to say that he is that the Quran is from God. Is that what you're saying? Where's the witness for that?
Okay, you can take it there as well. And for the current Muslims, where are the witnesses of Quran being written to first place, and then you have it. So Muhammad doesn't have witnesses, your Quran doesn't have witnesses, your hadith doesn't have witnesses. witnesses, you are claiming that this is corrupt, then the same theory should apply for Quran. Quran is also corrupt then.
No, you can't use that because the Quran has been perfectly preserved since the time of Muhammad. That's the reason.
Where? How? Where is the witness? How do we prove that?
No other Quran but one Quran. It's been the same since the time of Prophet Muhammad.
Okay, show me the Quran. That's what I'm saying.
Trying to be upon him.
Yeah, peace. Oh, okay. Why is it?
Okay, next week, where is Muhammad? That's what we're going to figure out. Where Muhammad? I mean, how do we arrive at historical facts? How do we determine whether or not something like that or somebody like that ever existed? And how do we determine?
We have to take their words in the 9th and 10th century.
Yeah.
That's it, period. Like 300 to 400 years after Muhammad. That right there just busts Islam wide open. It's dust, it's sinking sand.
Exactly right. Okay, we're going to call it a night. Again, Missy Frank Kahn, thank you so much for coming on tonight and contributing so much to this.
Yeah.
I really appreciate a lot of this stuff is new to me and new to a lot of us here. Your memes are just absolutely I think the reason why Paul wants to get a hold of you, and Paul's probably not going to admit this, but he probably wants to get you to make some memes for him because he's – anyway. Make sure you ask for money.
That's exactly what
I was going to say.
My husband will say that.
Make sure she pays for it. Okay, guys, everybody that was here tonight, I can't even go through. I did notice that our friend Gary Kemper stuck his head in, and somebody just arrived here in the studio. Oh, my goodness. The Rad is back. Who else was here? Paul Seth was. Okay. Darcy was here tonight. Darcy, we're always praying for you. Nim Grace was here. Thank you for coming. Kufar Phobia is here, and he's got his own YouTube channel. And let me see. I'm going to miss somebody. I hope I – and I. This is why I shouldn't do this, but – oh, and Animal. We're going to see Animal here in just a little bit at the top of the hour. And Wadu. Wadu's going to – we're going to see if we can get Wadu on next Tuesday evening, I think. Okay. God bless everybody, and thank you all for coming tonight, and we will see you next – no. We'll see you Sunday on the Cross the Crescent Discussion Group. God bless y'all. We'll see you.
Amen.
All right, let me come over
nice
here.
Video.
Yeah, this was a good show. This was really a good show. Lots of